Good morning, Maple Grove Covenant Church. How are you guys today? Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to give this up right away. I love dialogue. I'm a dialogical preacher. I'm also a dialogical professor, which means I like a little shout out. I like a little feedback from the audience. My favorite shout out, hallelujah. So, should you feel throughout this day, guess what? I am liberating you. I am giving you permission to shout out a hallelujah because we have a God who relentlessly pursues us. Can I get a hallelujah? There we are in good. We're doing well. It is a joy and it is an honor to be with you today. So, some of you asked, like, oh, how do you know Pastor Craig? I don't. Don't know Pastor Craig, don't know you guys, but by the end of today, we are going to be pals and we're going to have a good time. So I am truly, truly honored to be with you this morning. And I just got to say, you guys, bless Pastor Craig, like a man who so faithfully serves and leads this flock. Just we thank Jesus for his service here. And again, I'm honored to just be standing in and giving you a word that I believe the Spirit of the Lord longs for us to hear this morning. Sound good? Okay, so I do things a little bit differently because that's what you do when you're a middle child. You dare to do things differently. So I am beginning today with a few skits. Is that okay? I hope so. Otherwise, the whole sermon's going to flop. All right, here we go, my friends. Oops. Hi, Jennifer. How are you? Me? Oh, I'm good. I am blessed, girl. I am just so blessed. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. My kids? Oh, well, let's see. We have Timmy, and he is about to graduate from Harvard this spring. Can you even believe it? I know. Seems like just yesterday him and Johnny were playing in the sandbox, but girl, we are just so blessed. Oh, Tiffany, what is she doing? Well, she has been off in Paris with her boyfriend, and guess what? She just got engaged under the Eiffel Tower. He proposed, and she said yes. So we have already rented out the villa and the vineyards, and we are just going to have a smashing wedding. Oh, I'm so blessed. Oh, yes, and Sarah, well, she's doing well also. She's about to graduate from high school. I know, top of her class, varsity, three-star athlete. I tell you what, my friend, we are just drenched in the Lord's blessings. Mm-hmm. You know what, honey, I got to run. There's someone else on the other line, so it has been so good talking to you. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye. Act two. Homebody by Joanna Gaines. You're interrupting my act. Oh, look at this couch. Look at my couch. Oh, how does Joanna do it? Look at this decor. How does she do it? Ooh, I love this porch. I wonder how we can redo our porch. You know, it's falling apart and it just doesn't look this good. There she is with all her kids. They look like they're so well behaved. Not like my kids. Oh, and that kitchen. Oh, my word. What I wouldn't give to have a kitchen like that. She's so blessed. Sure wish I could have some of those blessings. Lord, would you please bless me like you've blessed Joanna Gaines? My blessings aren't big enough. Act three. Please hold. Now, maybe you don't have Harvard-bound children. Maybe you don't even know who Joanna Gaines is. If you don't, come up out from under that rock. The reality is we all have ideas of blessings. Am I right? This antique radio flyer. If I'm honest, this is my collection of blessings. I have had the privilege of going to school. I have accrued over $100,000 of debt to prove. But regardless, one of my greatest blessings, I can't quite get this on right, but you get the picture, is that I not only got to study as an undergrad student, but I also got to study as a master's degree student in a seminary, where I received a master's degree in public and missional theology. And because of that, I get to do things like this. I get to teach at Bethel University as an adjunct professor. That is one of my greatest gifts and my greatest blessings. I also came out of the womb a runner. For whatever reason, it's how God designed me. It's a passion that God gave me. And so these running sneakers to me are a testimony of a blessing in my life where I can get lost for hours on end on the running trail. And I just go. The blessings come as a 5K. And when a 5K was enough, I tried a half marathon. And when a half marathon wasn't enough, I tried a full. And when that wasn't enough, I tried ultras. Because I felt blessed, and I felt like this was the Lord's blessing. And in that, I feel like the incredible capacity to even be physical with my body is a blessing. So I take things like yoga, because the reality is, I can't run anymore. So there's a degree where I feel like, oh, has this blessing been taken away when I fell out of my own clumsiness at work a few years ago and busted up my knee? So because of that, I just said, well, let's take on another blessing. And I took up yoga, right? Oh, I am so blessed. I can move my body. And then, right, because I'm, oh man, I love the outdoors, you guys. Someday I'm going to own a Subaru because a Subaru to me says you are outdoorsy and you like to do things. So I brought with me my hiking boots because I think there is nothing greater. I would even dare say like one of my greatest blessings is the capacity to travel and see God's creation from places like Yosemite National Park. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have collected over the years of my academic work a library that is, quite frankly, my most prized possession. Take away my car, take away my running, but don't take away my library. We, at my house, I do communal living, and sometimes we will rent out our space for Airbnb. And when my particular apartment is rented out, I make sure and let my friends know who own the home. It's totally fine. I'm happy to open up my home. Just make sure the guests don't take my book. There's something about my books where I feel like, oh, look at this blessing. And true, we can say these are blessings, am I right? Because James teaches us that every good gift comes from above. So we can say, my capacity to run, or my capacity to yoga, even my capacity to read, sure, we can call that a blessing, right? I want to ask you guys the question. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word blessing? Really, I want you to think about it. What does it mean to be blessed? Are you thinking about it? Now, I'm willing to bet that for most of us, we thought about some of the things revealed in one of my epic Broadway skits. Maybe you thought about your own children. Maybe you thought about the incredible home that you live in. Or maybe, just maybe some of us who prefer more of a Christian-y Hallmark sort of a response thought, I woke up this morning, I'm blessed. I've got air in my lungs, that's a blessing. Praise be to you. However you personally answered this question, when we look at Christian culture today, we can conclude that we are in desperate need of a revised and a little bit more of a robust definition of blessing. Because that hashtag blessed t-shirt you're wearing, that hashtag blessed coffee mug, that hashtag blessed Instagram account you have, dear friends, that falls pretty short of the kingdom blessing that God is longing to give to us. Now, I'm really not a cynical person. I don't mean to poke fun at these ideas that we have of what it means to be blessing. I'm not really a cynical woman, so please don't misunderstand my slight prophetic questioning, right? Aimed toward our contemporary understanding of blessing. The truth of the matter is, like I said before, we can articulate these things that we have as blessings, because the reality is every good thing comes from the kingdom of God, and the air in our breath is a gift from the gift of God, so we can say, thank you, Jesus. But when these things become the only way we understand what it means to be blessed, then there's something really misguided. There's something really radical that is actually missing from the whole definition. Because we have to then ask ourselves, if this is all it means to be blessed, the fact that I can move my body, the fact that I can read these books, the fact that I can teach at an incredibly prestigious institution, the fact that maybe I can birth children, right? If this is all that it means to be blessed, then we have to ask the question, what about the couple who longs to create a family but can't? Are they blessed? What about the homeless? Are they blessed? What about the incarcerated? What about the addict? Are they blessed? What about the frazzled mama who's buckling under the weight of perfectionism? Is she blessed? What about the ones with the mansion on top of the hill with a 4-car garage and 2.5 Harvard-bound children? Are they blessed? What about the ones with closets and garages and extra garages full of blessings? Are they blessed? My friends, I want to ask you again this morning, what does it mean to be blessed? Because there's got to be something more to it than your own personal radio flyer full of stuff. I can't help but wonder if we're missing it. The fullness of it anyways, right? Surely we're onto something, but I still can't help but wonder, is there more to it than that? I wonder, is God longing to give us a blessing, to give me a blessing, to give you a blessing and you a blessing, to give this whole congregation a blessing and the entire city of Maple Grove a blessing? Is God longing to bless us, but we're so wrapped up in our ideas of blessing that we're missing it? Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. You have a word for us, and Jesus, we need you to circumcise our ears. Sometimes receiving a blessing of the Lord, well, it requires a little work on our behalf. Now, what I mean by work is I don't mean effort, that we have to create a blessing in and of itself. But sometimes we actually have to work in order to receive it. Because, my friend, sometimes we are standing in the way of receiving our blessing. And it requires a lot of work to get out of the way. Because to get out of the way is to surrender and to let God be God in our lives, to let God be Lord of your life. That means letting God be Lord of your children. Are you letting God be Lord of your children? That means letting God be Lord of your finances. Are you letting God be Lord of your finances? That means letting God be Lord over your marriages and over your job and over your fill in the blank, whatever that is for you. Is the Lord over it? Because for some of us, surrender is the greatest thing that we need to do. I speak about my own self on that one. I don't know about you guys, but surrendering is hard work. And the art and the discipline and the beauty of surrendering requires that we would wrestle, right? That we would wrestle with the God who says, I am coming after you. That we would wrestle with the God who says, all that I have is yours if you would just let me give it to you. Sometimes we just got to move out of the way. We are going to have to wrestle through the lies that tell us our mistakes define us. Can I get a hallelujah on that? Because I got to say that one again. Sometimes we have to wrestle through the lies that tell us we are not worthy enough when we have the living God relentlessly pursuing us. Oh, yes. Well done, Maple Grove Covenant. We are going to have to wrestle against those in your life who don't want you to receive your blessing. Because guess what? There are people who don't want you to live in your blessing. Again, that could be the lies that you are believing. That could be the shame of your past. That could be your spouse. That could be your parents. That could be your friend group. That could be the stories we hear on social media or in, dare I say it, maybe even the idea of a Joanna Gaines home makeover. Are those the lies that you are believing that are keeping you from receiving and having eyes to see your blessing? Sometimes blessings, well, they're so hidden and often unmaterialistic that we miss them. Sometimes blessings require us to wrestle out all of our distorted ideas about who God is and how God wants to bless us. And this, my friends, is why I've titled this particular sermon, Wrestled Blessing. Now, thank you for giving me the freedom to share with you a few very cheesy skits. May I share with you a story now? Thank you. Again, she would flop if I couldn't. So, this story offers maybe a different idea of what it means to be blessed. And this story comes from one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament named Jacob. How many of you have ever heard the name Jacob before? Yeah, so you're probably familiar with the story of Jacob. But today, I believe the Spirit of the Lord has a word for us, has a picture for us, indeed has a story for us that isn't just the story of Jacob, but is our story as well. Let me tell you a little bit something about Jacob. By all accounts, this dude had it all, right? I mean, Jacob was wealthy beyond measure, wealthy in a way that maybe we in 2019 wouldn't understand it. I mean, he had camels, and he had sheep, and he had donkey and oxen, like livestock, right? Almost beyond measure. I mean, that wasn't the first thing that came to my mind when I thought blessing, but maybe if you thought about donkeys and when you were asked the question of what is blessing, that's great. But for Jacob, this was his blessing, and he was indeed blessed. Not only did he have livestock and incredible wealth, he also had a great, great offspring. He had a wife. Well, he had two wives. Again, what is your idea of blessing? May it be a homogenous relationship, but I digress. So he had two wives and dozens of children that who had children's children and who had children's children. So much so that he started as a one human being and grew to be a company, right? Many, many offspring. For those of us in 2019, if we were to look at Jacob's life, right? If he were here with us in 2019 and we were scrolling through our Instagram and we came across our buddy Jacob, look at his wife. She's so pretty. I'm going to like that one. Look at his other wife. She's got some tired eyes. But man, she's fertile. Like, oh, look at his donkeys. Like. And then we'll end up feeling like, oh, I'm missing it. His life is so perfect. Because on all accounts, he had it all. But there was something missing. You see, he did indeed have all kinds of blessings. At one point in his life, his dad, Isaac, spoke a blessing over him. And this is what he says. He says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and numerous," which he was, "that you may become a company of peoples. May he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you." So yes, we can say Jacob was blessed. Jacob received the blessing of his father, which was the blessing of the living God. And these blessings, they did come to fruition. Jacob had lots of babies. Like I said already, Jacob had tons of livestock and material possessions, the things that our minds first go to when we think about blessing. Jacob had it all. Or so it looked. Just like Instagram tells us, it looks like everybody's blessed. Because things always look good on the exterior. But you see, this story of Jacob, I actually started it in the middle of the story. There's a whole lot of background that we haven't quite gotten to yet. So if I can, ever so briefly, give you a little overview into the beginning part of Jacob's life, that will help us understand this middle part, where we are invited to receive the richness and the robust nature of blessing. So here we go, and as quickly as I possibly can to get us up to speed with the robust part of this middle story, let's kick it with the beginning part of Jacob's story, okay? Are you with me? Are we doing all right? There's a little dialogue there. You see, Jacob was indeed blessed, like I shared before. But for those of us who are familiar with this story, we know that Jacob was blessed, quite frankly, because he stole his older brother's blessing. Now, in this tradition, it was the tradition for the father to give a blessing to the older son. But Jacob was not the older son. He was the second son. So the blessing was to be set apart for his brother Esau. We'll get to that a little bit more later. And because, though, what ended up happening, Jacob stole Esau's blessing. What happened? Esau's response is that Esau wanted to kill him. He was so full of rage and anger that he missed out on his blessing because his younger brother cheated him out of it. That Esau wanted to kill Jacob. And here's where we are, okay? So this is where we're starting. This is the setting where we are discussing and looking at Jacob's story. He stole Esau's blessing and he received the blessing. Esau wanted to kill him, right? And in learning that Esau wanted to kill him, Jacob bolted. He said, I got to get out of here. I got to peace out. Not only did I steal his blessing, but now he's coming to kill me. So he left his homeland. And as he left his homeland, that's where he accrued all of his wealth. And as he was there, away from home, he got a word saying, go back. Go back. Okay, so here's where we're at. Jacob, now with all of his material blessings, is headed back. And the only thing he has in his mind is that my brother Esau, some years earlier, wanted to kill me. Like, I love to engage our imaginations when we read through Scripture. I think we can get a far more vibrant picture when we do that. So I encourage you, be engaging. Be with me here as we are looking at the story of Jacob. Use your imagination. Put yourself in Jacob's place. You stole your older sibling's blessing, and you are living in that blessing. You look around your life and you see your wives, you see your offspring, you see your livestock, you see your slaves, you see your maids. A blessing that was meant for your older sibling. Put yourself there. So they're heading back home, right? He was leaving the land of Haran where he had married Leah, the wife with the tired eyes, and he was marrying Rachel, the lovely one whom he really loved. He was leaving with these wives and all of his blessings. His sheep, his camels, his donkey, his oxen, his slaves, his helpers. And as they sojourned back home, do you know who was coming the other way? Esau. Now remember, all Jacob knew and all Jacob recalls is that Esau was trying to kill him. So can you imagine, put yourself there, again, engage your imagination. What would you feel like when you got word, here you are relishing in the blessings that were are determined to be for your older sibling, and he's coming your way? I don't know about you all, but I'd be pretty terrified. Oh my gosh, so Jacob gets word, Esau is coming. You're heading back home, and your brother who wants to kill you is coming your way. What would you think? I'm willing to bet that we would be thinking, just as Jacob was thinking, oh no, he probably still wants to kill me. So Jacob, in fear, he was so terrified, he sends a few of his people as messengers. Like, go, go, go to Esau. And tell him, your servant Jacob. Your servant, Jacob, is coming before you. Genesis 32 says it this way, that Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau. Jacob didn't want to meet Esau first. Jacob wanted to really understand, what is Esau's disposition toward me? So he sends messengers. And he told his messengers to tell Esau this, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have lived with Laban as an alien and stayed until now, and I have oxen and donkeys, flocks, male and female slaves. Bragger. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I might find favor in your sight. So Jacob's thinking, maybe if I take my little radio flyer and give all my blessings, which are actually Esau's anyways, to Esau, maybe that would appease him. But there is something. I don't know the authenticity of Jacob's thing here, right? What he was trying to do. But if nothing else, there is some turn in his character. The willingness to give Esau the blessings. Maybe it was out of fear for his own life, but regardless, we can tell there's something shifting. There's something about to change, okay? There's something about to change. So the messengers obeyed, and they did just that. They went and told Esau exactly what Jacob told him to do. They came back, and imagine Jacob's like sweating, maybe wetting his pants, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then his messengers come back with a word. Esau is bringing with him 400 men. Oh, shoot. What is going to happen? Esau's coming with 400 men. I can imagine that Jacob is thinking, he still wants to kill me. After hearing about Esau's troop, Jacob devises a plan. A master battle plan where he takes all of his blessings, his entire company, and he breaks them up into two companies, right? He breaks them up because in his thought, if I send one of my companies first, half of what I own first to appease him, if Esau still wants to kill me, then well, shoot, at least I still got half of the possessions for me to take and we can run and we can be safe. Master manipulator. So, Jacob sent forth his blessing in effort to appease his brother. The story in Genesis tells us that he sent forth 200. Now, again, engage your imagination and just picture this. He sent forth 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, camels and cows, bulls and donkeys. Jacob is basically saying, like, take him away. I am getting rid of all of my material blessings. I am getting rid of them. Take them. Send these gifts to Esau in droves, he tells his messengers. And drove after drove after drove of blessing. So it was. And he tells his messengers, these blessings, Esau, they are for you. And what's even more, Esau, Jacob is behind us. So the blessings passed on ahead of him. But there, he spent the night in a camp after sending forth all of his blessings. And he's just waiting to encounter his brother Esau. There were, however, even after sending forth the droves upon droves, there were a few blessings that remained with Jacob right now. His most prized possessions, you might say. He had with him his wives. His maids and his 11 children. And what does he do now? Again, Genesis 32 tells us that he took them, his most prized blessings, and he sent them across the stream, and likewise, everything he had. And so it is this point where we really dig in to the nature in the beauty of the story. And this is why I titled it, again, Wrestled Blessings. So here we are, okay? Jacob had just sent forth all of his blessings. And Jacob was left alone. When you're left alone, my friends, you are vulnerable. When you are left alone and you abandon all of your material blessings, I want you to imagine that. Imagine it. What are the things that you are holding on to? What are the things that make you feel a sense of value and worth? What are they in your life? Now imagine abandoning them all and being left alone with nobody but your own self. And when you're left to your own self, you have nothing to do but to examine your own life and who you are. You can't masquerade anymore behind that mask that says, I've got it all together. You have nothing to grasp onto to make you feel like you're enough. You're alone. And it's in this place, this solitary place, where extraordinary things can happen. But we're all so afraid to be alone with our own selves, aren't we? We'd rather gram our blessings and collect 100 likes than to be left alone. But Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob is wrestling, right? Jacob is left alone. And I imagine, like, there is something that Jacob is longing for that he did not receive, that he did not find in all of his material blessings. And he is fighting with this man who some translations say are an angel of the Lord, or Genesis 35 tells us that Jacob believed it was God and God's own self. But either way, however you want to translate it, it was clearly an intense and spiritual and sacred wrestling match. So they're wrestling, and Jacob is not giving up. And so the angel of the Lord, or God's self, however we want to interpret it, touches his hip. Gives him a limp. And then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. The angel of the Lord says, let me go. Jacob is wrestling so hard, and Jacob has a lot of endurance, and Jacob is holding on. Jacob is wrestling for something more, to the point where the man says, let me go, for day is breaking. Now, what a funny thing to say. And I can't help but wonder that maybe, just maybe, it is in the dark night of the soul, right? It is in the darkness of night where we are able and we are liberty to receive something special from the Lord if we are willing to wrestle for it. Because when day comes, it is far easier to see all of the external things, right, that can distract our attention, where we can get a sense of identity. But when you are left alone at night, you are in your most vulnerable place. And that is where the Lord can hear you. That is where the Lord can really get to you. So the man says, let go, because day is breaking. And what does Jacob say? Jacob said, I will not let go unless you bless me. Wait a minute, what? Didn't we just see that Jacob sent out all of his livestock and all of his offspring and all of his wealth? Jacob, come on, homie, how much more blessings do you want? But this tells us something very important, that these things don't matter. These things do not satisfy. Even Jacob, in Jacob's own self, was longing for something more. And so he cries out, I will not let go unless you bless me. Jacob needed something more. What? What did Jacob need? Jacob was alone. I can imagine this setting. And as he was alone, he recognized the insignificance of all these things. Jacob was left alone with his own self. Jacob needed a different kind of blessing. So he wrestled for it, and he fought for it, just like, my friend, sometimes we need to do. What kind of a blessing are you in need of, and are you willing to wrestle for it? Are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing for this blessing to look differently than what you think it's going to look like? Are we willing to cry out, I'm not going to let go, God, until you bless me? Just as Jacob did. And at this point in the wrestling match, when the man says to Jacob, what is your name? A very odd question to ask, but the perfect question to ask, because you see, this angel of the Lord, this man, who I actually do believe is God in God's own self, knows exactly what we need far better than we do, and so he asks the perfect question, what is your name? A name is significance. Your name is your identity. Hold on, my friends, because Jacob's blessing is on its way. What a personal and intimate thing to ask. What is your name? This gets to the very core of Jacob's identity. It was as though the man was saying, do you realize, Jacob? Do you realize the mask that you're wearing? Jacob, what is your name? My friends, I believe that God is saying to us again, what is your name? What is the name that you are living under? What is the mask that you are wearing? So what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Now, because I love to engage my imagination, I can't help but think that Jacob was full of shame. Jacob has been left alone in the middle of the night, wrestling. He was all by himself, totally vulnerable, where he had nothing to do but understand who he truly is and what he was living under. And so he says, Jacob, that's my name. Now, what I didn't tell you before is the meaning of the name Jacob, because we got that in the very beginning of Jacob's story. So we have to kick it back. And Genesis 25 tells the story like this. Listen up. When her, that is Rebecca, Jacob's mom, when her days to give birth were completed, behold, these were the twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was Jacob, which means he takes by the heel. He cheats. He cheats. Jacob, the cheat. You see, the man asked Jacob his name because Jacob had been living under the shame of his name. Jacob was living as a cheat. I want us to, for a brief moment, look a little bit further at his cheating ways, okay? Check this out. The story of Genesis continues. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." And Jacob, finding the perfect weak moment, says, "Sell me your birthright now." Jacob, the cheat. Later on, we read of another story where Jacob's mom, Rebekah, had overheard Isaac, the husband, instruct Esau to prepare a meal. Because at this point in the story, Isaac is really old and he's getting ready to pass on to his firstborn son his blessing. So he tells Esau, "Go out, get some game, come back home and prepare it for me so that I may bless you." But Rebekah overheard. And Rebekah favored Jacob. And so Rebekah told Jacob, "Go out, get some game, prepare it. Dress up like Esau so that you can receive Esau's blessing." My friends, let us be aware to the ones who want to keep us living out of our false identity. Rebekah, she knew Jacob's name. Rebekah encouraged Jacob to continue living into his name as Jacob the cheat. So, as the story goes, the meal is prepared. Jacob gets all dressed up to look like Esau, to smell like Esau, to feel like Esau. And the story goes like this. In this utter deception, Jacob went to his father. So he went to his father and said, "My father!" And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" "Who are you, my son?" Another very intimate, very vulnerable question. Where at this point in time, I'm willing to bet that Jacob had the opportunity to say, like, "Oh, crud, I'm totally cheating you. I am Jacob, I'm not your son Esau. Who are you, my son?" There was something in Isaac that he knew in his gut. This is, something's different here. Something's different in you. So who are you, my son? But Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Jacob, the cheat. And so the story goes on to tell us that just after Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau comes in, right? So here, Jacob receives the blessing that should have been for Esau, and Esau comes in and prepares the game and brings it to his father and says, "Father, I'm here. Here is your game. Sit up and bless me." And it was at that moment that Esau and Isaac realized that they've been deceived, that they've been cheated. The story tells us that Isaac trembled violently and Esau cried a bitter cry. And in Esau's bitterness, he cried, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? Whew. Whew. Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Oh, the weight of a name, my friends. The name Jacob, the cheat, was the very thing blocking his way of receiving his true blessing. Jacob the cheat, I ask you again, what name are you living under that is blocking your capacity to receive the kingdom blessing that God longs to give you? Because we all have these false names under which we live. And it is here where we return to the wrestling match, okay, between Jacob and the man. Again, the man said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he says, "Jacob," saying, like, "I know who I am. I'm Jacob. I'm the cheat. I have robbed my brother of his blessing. I have robbed him of his birthright. I accrued all this great wealth because I devised a plan that would give me all the ewes that I needed to give. Like, I am Jacob the cheat. It's who I am." Can you imagine this setting? My friends, again, I ask, what name are you living under? Are you yourself living under the name of a cheat? Are you naming yourself a liar? Are you naming yourself the drunk, the addict, the adulterer, the lust, the perfect one? What name are you speaking over your life? If we do not wake up to these names, We will never be liberated to receive the real blessing. So wake up. What lies are you believing? What shame are you living under? What stories are you reliving? Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Just as the man asked Jacob, "What is your name?" So too the Lord is asking you. And the Lord is asking me, "What is your name?" And so the man said to Jacob, get this, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." My friends, God is longing to give you a blessing. God is longing to take away your false identity of the cheat or the liar or the gossip or whatever it is and give you a new name. No, Jacob, that's not your name anymore. Your past does not define you. Your cheating ways do not define you. For I, the Lord your God, give you a new name. Can I get a hallelujah? Oh. But Jacob said to him, like as though it's almost too good to be true. Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" Now, I think that Jacob wanted to believe this man. Like, could it be true? Could it be true? Can I have a new identity? Do I get to have a new name? Because my past tells me one thing. My brother tells me another thing. My mother tells me another thing. Who is telling you what you are that is not true of who God created you to be? I think Jacob wanted so to believe this man and so receive his blessing, but it felt too good to be true. So he says, "But who are you? Who are you to have the authority to give me a new name?" When we are told such good news as this, it is hard to believe. Isn't it hard to believe? So we pry like, really? Could this be true of me? Could this be true of me? The man redirects Jacob's, now Israel, praise God, focus. He redirects his focus by totally disregarding his question. Ultimately saying like, "My name is not important, Jacob. Now, Israel, you do not need to know my name. What you need to know in order to receive your blessing is who you are. You don't need to know my name. You need to know your name. And behold, I say, you are Israel. I have given you a new name. You are Israel." And the story says, and there he blessed him. The new name. It is no longer Jacob the cheat. You are Israel, for you have striven with God and with man. No longer are you weighted under the consuming things of your blessings, your material blessings. No longer are you living in the lies of your cheating ways, for you are now Israel. This is the blessing that Jacob was longing to get, and he didn't even know it. He wrestled for it, and what he was wrestling for, he received, and he received it in abundance. The camels were not his blessing. The sheep were not his blessings. His offspring were not his blessing. His wives were not his blessings. His slaves were not his blessings. His two mistresses and maids, they were not his blessing. His blessing, my friends, came from a limp. Are we awake? Are we aware? And do we have eyes to see the ways in which our blessings are coming? My friends, God is longing to bless you. God is so longing to bless you in a way that will last through eternity. But will you wrestle for it? Will you surrender your false identity? The Lord is asking you today, what is your name? The Lord speaks truth over you. The Lord has a name over you. And listen up, my dear friends, listen up to how the Lord speaks over you. Listen up to the names that the Lord speaks over you and I, and receive these new names. You are a new creation. You are a royal priesthood. You are altogether lovely. There is no flaw in you. Can I get a hallelujah? You are created in the image of God. You are the beloved. You are sons and daughters of God the Father. You're the bride of Christ. You are chosen. You are more than a conqueror. You are loved. You are God's workmanship. You are light. You are washed clean. You are made new. You are righteous. What is your name, my friends? These are the names under which we live. Receive your blessing today. You are loved. You are forgiven. You have a new name. I think for too long that we've been keeping our brokenness. For Jacob, it was his cheating ways, right? What is your brokenness? We've all got it. I think for too long we've been keeping our brokenness under the curse. You see, Jacob kept his brokenness, his cheating ways, under the curse of his name. But after wrestling all night long, his brokenness then was pulled out from under the curse. It was pulled out from the shadows and placed under the light of the blessing of a new name. Now, one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen. If you guys haven't read Henry Nouwen before, I cannot encourage you enough to read his stuff. He's a beautiful, beautiful writer. And in his book, Life of the Beloved, he exhorts his readers to do this. He says that our brokenness, we could say our false name, the mistakes of our past, whatever your brokenness is, our brokenness is often so frightening to face because we live it under the curse. This great spiritual call of the beloved children, that is you and that is me, the great spiritual call of the beloved children of God is to pull their brokenness away from the shadow of the curse and put it under the light of the blessing. When we do so, what seemed punishment becomes gentle pruning. What seemed rejection becomes a way to deeper communion. Because when we put our names under the blessing, God is going to want to prune us so that which is not Christ-like can be broken away, right? John 15 tells us that we are the branches of the vine and that God prunes away whatever doesn't bear fruit. When we know who we are, we welcome this gentle pruning because it's making us more like Christ. Maple Grove Covenant Church, what is your name? And are you willing to wrestle through the night to receive your blessing, to receive your new name? You are the beloved. You are forgiven. You are so perfectly loved, just as you are. We are a royal priesthood. This is our name, and this is our blessing. Let us stand up, and let us receive the goodness and the beauty of our blessing that God is giving us today. I offer us this prayer. Spirit of the living God, thank you, thank you, thank you that you relentlessly pursue us. You break down the walls, you light up the shadows that keep us living out of our false identity. And instead you say, you are now Israel. You are my beloved. Spirit of God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see the ways that you are longing to bless us. Thank you for the ways that you leave the 99 and come chasing after us. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.